excited to talk about this film. Oh, Dan! They're eating him! And then they're gonna eat me! Oh my god!
Actually, it's just me.
Oh. Hey.
I was brushing my teeth.
Oh, Dan. Your teeth look great.
Thank you.
Did you know Nilbog is goblin spelled backwards?
I didn't know that, Jared. Thank you for letting me know. But my teeth feel great. I just got done brushing them. And what was that about eating people?
Mm. Oh, nothing. It's just I get confused sometimes when I see people doing things I never do, like brush my teeth. And I think they're different things. Sometimes different things are different things for me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review.
That was a reference to a film that we did not watch, but is down in the lexicon of terrible films ever. So if you want to do yourself a cinematic favor, go watch Troll 2 and get back to us.
Yeah, Troll 2, the movie about goblins. Yes.
Well, okay, Jared, I'm glad that we brought that up because Troll 2, its original title was Goblin. But if you go into IMDb and try to find the film Goblin from 2020 that we just looked at with our peepers, you'll have a trouble finding it because Guardian, the Lonely and Great God, a 2016 TV series, also goes by the name Goblin. The 1985 horror movie House also goes by the name Goblin. Troll 2 also goes by the name Goblin. There was a
Goblin also goes by the name Goblin.
Yeah, Goblin, the fucking artist who did the Suspiria soundtrack, among others. Their name is Goblin, and just the cinema history has this thing with Goblin. It can't quite let the
Goblins
lore go.
Are fascinating characters.
I'll tell you what, this Goblin,
this
Goblin in 2020's Goblin is definitely a fascinating creature. Definitely.
That's right.
So we watched a film called Goblin, if you haven't got that yet.
Yes, yes. And I but to be fair, I did specify Goblin 2020.
I know
and
you did.
And I told you where to watch it. So.
And I found it before I IMDb'd it. So I found it okay on Amazon, but on IMDb, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why is there so many goblins? Like, keywords, goblin. There is 230 titles.
Oh,
exact title matches. We'll go here. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Spookies, a 1986 film, a.k.a. Goblin. Goblin from 2010, strange. A TV movie. Goblin from 1993, a video.
Like, if I ever make a horror movie, I want it to be called, like, The Velvet Hand, and then have its second fake name be Goblin.
Goblin, yeah. So, Goblin is about a woman.
Goblin.
And she
is
what? Yes, Goblin is about a goblin, but it's also about a woman who discovers a goblin in her neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But the story goes she's in a tumultuous relationship with a new husband who abuses her, and she has to deal with that guy's son, and she has to deal with raising her own son, and there's a goblin stalking her family to boot.
Yes.
She also lives next to a man named Elias, and Elias is a fucking weirdo.
Elias, the German weirdo!
Yes.
Hello, it's me, Elias!
Elias is amazing.
Yes.
I love Elias so much.
Elias fills this weird fucking stereotype that I see in so many different types of
the old man
movies.
Warning of danger, right?
not the old man warning of danger, but the foreign old man who's going to dump exposition on you. Like, it's always some old scientist that has a foreign accent that's like, yes, it came from my beaker. I don't know. But he's a historian professor in this movie, mm-hmm. If you wanted to know.
I have a very old picture book that I would like to show you. Here is babies playing in the tub. As you can see, there is a goblin behind them. So spooky.
Yes, yes. And if you look over here, this woman is throwing her baby in the fire, and the goblin is clapping. That was one of the things. I don't know.
A lot of these have to do with babies. I think I might be a bad person. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. I think I might be... I think I'm the bad guy. Yes. So we watch Goblin. Let's stop saying Goblin. No, I'll never stop saying Goblin. The person who brought this to us is Sam Sapien Productions.
Oh, it was brought to us?
Yes.
Wow.
This was requested to us.
Okay, cool. I thought it was just
I normally handle these and like cue them up for us to watch. You just thought I found this strange movie?
Okay, cool.
So like here's what how I want to start questions. Dan, did you watch the trailer for this movie?
No, I did not. Should I have?
Okay. Well, it might have changed how you felt, like your expectations, because I watched the trailer and it was a lot funnier than how the actual movie turned out, because this movie's is like a really serious. Would you agree?
Yes. This movie is strange. This movie is as strange as a Goblin, I think.
Do you think this film would have benefited from it being more of a horror comedy than a straight horror with that tries to tackle like domestic abuse?
No, I think issues. They did.
No, okay.
Here's
Please
what
elaborate.
I like this film a lot, and I like how strange and bizarre it was to me. Jared, I'm going to ask you a question specifically about a element of film that really made me
fire, earth, wind, water, the elements of film.
Yes, no, the elements of film. No, so it made me feel like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It was very off-putting is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
But...
Was it that all the characters were named Danny?
Yeah, I know, right? Did you notice anything strange about the dialogue delivery in this film?
I mean, when Elias would talk, it was weird?
No. Okay, so...
But yeah, elaborate.
This film, you have two main characters. You have Ashley, or Sarah, played by Ashley Renee, and Sam, played by Houston Toe. So Ashley is the wife, and then Houston Toe, Sam is the little kid. And
Sam
their
almost never
role
talks.
In this film, they never talk. Like, her husband will, like, yell at her, and she just, it cuts to her face, and she doesn't say anything. She just looks off in the distance. And that kind of made the film really strange because there was just vacant space where dialogue should be in both those characters, both the wife and the kid.
Well,
so,
the stepdad, Danny's always telling her to shut the fuck up. So it's hitting on like the domestic abuse portion of this movie
but
and how big
is. Here's why I think that's brilliant. It's because... It was so awkward and strange, but, you know, we're so used to dialogue happening rapid fire in movies, and that's really not the case whenever it comes to domestic abuse cases, which is why I thought it was bizarre, because it's supposed to feel bizarre. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think this movie does a good job of showcasing domestic abuse. Why do I say showcase? Or, like, portraying.
Yes.
So, like, we don't want to showcase of domestic abuse, do we? It portrays it in a way... that I think is very realistic because it's like a lot of it is mental.
Yes.
And of course, yes, it definitely can become physical and that's a whole other terrible side to it. But it's focusing on that type of abuse where it's like, if you tell people about it, they're like, oh, you're fine, whatever. Like it's almost like, unless they don't punch you directly in the face, usually people don't care. And
yes.
I think it does escalate to that towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you're right. The little kid barely ever talks, and the wife barely ever talks. She only really talks to the little kid, if you think about
it. Or Elias, or Elias, or whatever his name is, across the street.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And she does talk to the husband.
About
now,
Gerblin.
Question about the husband. Did you think he was a good cast choice for this abuser?
Oh, I thought he was great.
See, at first I thought, because like I knew that he was going to be an abuser because I read the synopsis, but whenever I first saw him, I'm like, this guy has too kind of a face, but man, he impressed me 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, do you think it's tropey that they made him an ex-military, like, trucker, I'm gonna go hunting and mudding type of guy, and he's like, ugh. It kind of, like, reinforces that of, like, oh, yeah, of course this guy would, like, definitely abuse his wife. It's a little on the nose, but it works for the movie, I'll say. What about his son, though? His son was unbearable to me. He was so awful. Oh, my God.
Danny Jr.
I mean, it reflects how bad of a parent Danny Sr. is. Yeah, so basically, obviously,
Danny Jr. is this douchebag teenager that, like, he's a hyper stereotype of a douchebag teenager. Oh, like, no powerful teenager acts like this ever. But he's constantly like, shut up, dweeb. Or, like, get it yourself. You're not my mom.
Yeah, but he says this, to his stepmom. And I'm like, there's moments where you're looking at Sarah, and I'm thinking, like, she's almost, like, not even the mom. She's, like, a child to the two Dannys. It's strange how, like, they hold dominion over her and how creepy that is while you're watching the movie. Boy, I mean, it's like, what I like about this film, too, is it messes with your expectations on what you think the film is going to be. Because you're, like, at first, you're thinking, okay, obviously Goblin is going to be a facsimile of her being abused. And it's, you know, it's kind of like that abuse is manifesting itself as the Goblin. But that's really not the case. It's like a whole other thing. And I don't want to spoil it until we get into spoilers. But we will definitely talk about it. Dan, do you have another question for me before we jump in to the rest of the thing that we talk about?
No.
All right. Then that makes our job real easy. So, Goblin, if you want to see it, I saw it on Amazon Prime.
Yes. I recommend it.
Go check it out.
It's only an hour and 12 minutes long. It's pretty short. It gets the job done pretty quickly.
It's a pretty serious movie that has some pretty hilarious parts, which I'm going to talk about.
Yes, I do agree.
But yeah.
But Jared, what did you find funny about this
movie? What did you find? So this is a spoiler section. I will say the CGI and the Goblin, really, really funny. Anytime he's on screen doing stuff, because, like, he's doing silly stuff. Like,
I thought he was creepy as fuck whenever he was in the shade of the bushes. Like, the first time you see him, I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
What? And he's, like, petting the dog and everything. Yeah. I felt like if they just would have shown him less instead of, like, full-on showing him, that probably would have been better. I also prefer not using CGI. And
I was also very engaged in the narrative by the time you saw him in full effect, so I didn't really care too much about that. But the scene where he's hiding in the shadows of the bush, that was really well done, I think. Like, they hit it very well.
Yeah, and he's got predator vision because he, like, sees an infrared.
Yeah, and the first time that you see his hand on the window, that was kind of creepy because it was huge. Like, his hands are huge compared to the rest of his body in terms of
proportion. Yeah, he's got a fat little stub body.
Yeah. Jared, I have notes, but they're all jokes. I don't know where I want to take this.
Read some of them.
Well, do you want to just skip to the end and then?
Yeah, we can go wherever we want. We're in spoilers now.
So we'll talk backwards from the
end. I do want to talk about Elias, but.
Yeah. So we'll talk backwards from the end. So at the end of the film, the Goblin ends up killing the husband, right? Mm-hmm. And
he's a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit, and you're voting for him, and then or you're rooting for the Goblin at that point. But then the film makes a cut to 9 months later, and any time that you have 9 months later in a movie, you know for a fact that somebody's going to be pregnant because that's the timeline that we have. But the question then becomes, who got her pregnant? Ooh. Was it the Goblin?
Yes.
Was it Danny Jr.? Was it fucking Elias? Was it Pistol the dog?
Danny Jr.?
Nobody knows who got her pregnant. I don't know. But how funny would it be if
it was instead, a Goblin baby?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, how funny would it be if it is a Goblin baby, and instead of her feeding the... Well, at the end of the movie, she feeds the Goblin dog food. But how funny would it be is if she walked in the house and the Goblin sitting on the couch with a TV and a beer... Being like, he's back just drinking. Bitch.
He's like, nobody leaves this house. Nobody leaves this house until I get rid of all the humans. Holy shit, that'd be amazing. that would have been amazing. But then it's like there's kind of like a fun, like there's fun silliness in this movie, but then there's what led to that pregnancy? A rape. Like the husband rapes his wife against the wall while their like kid is there and his son is missing. There's a lot of like really intense stuff juxtaposed with things that I think come off as humorous. So I don't know, that balance I think is a little off.
Well,
it did seem like this movie wanted to be more serious than
it did.
Certain scenes were led on.
Well, then certain scenes and certain characters too, like the animal control people.
Yeah.
Like they were kind of silly and, you know, goofy, but then that one scene where the animal control guy won't leave and he's like, "Are you sure everything's okay?" Because you know, he hears shit in the house. And like who does that guy, I mean, I get he's looking out for people, but like he's just an animal control man. Yeah. I mean, he's not a cop. Yeah. He's not a real cop.
You're not a real cop or my dad. And we got to talk about Elias, guys. Okay. Elias is, he is not good in this movie, but I also really enjoy him in this film. Like his acting is not good, but his character is funny and entertaining.
Yes.
It's just strange. Like he'll say something and then he'll shake his head like for like 3 seconds straight. And you're like, what is he doing? I don't know. Like
well,
he was responding
to
something like 2 seconds ago.
He added to that really bizarre atmosphere that this film has because of the lack of dialogue. You know what I mean? Like his dialogue was not supplemented very well by her dialogue. Because basically, the only reason that, you know, we talk to Elias is because Sarah goes over and talks to Elias because I don't know why. Like, I don't know why. He's just being neighborly at first. Yeah, he's being neighborly at first. And then he's like, "I want to talk to you about the things that you've been seeing."
Yeah. I mean, it was a really, when you first meet Elias, it's a very charming scene. Like, I mean, his strange way of acting, whether intentional or not, didn't really affect my love for that character. Like, I liked the character a lot, and I thought it was a joy to be in the film. It was very interesting. They kind of made him a villain.
Mm.
He kind of comes around because the goblin, in fact, becomes the hero and is the one who is trying to help Sarah, even though, like, Elias is trying to help her and be like, "Listen, you got to leave the situation. It's bad for you, blah, blah, blah," which is, you know, it's parallel to her being in the abusive relationship, that and the goblin. But then it turns out that the goblin is good and the goblin is helping her get out of the abusive relationship. It's like almost the goblin.
Well, I think
like
the goblin is a neutral evil. Like he's not going, he doesn't have any malevolent intent. He's just there to eat and he looks ugly. So like he doesn't have any desire to, well, maybe he does. Maybe he desires to eat the people who are douchebags, because he ends up, he eats Danny Jr.
Yeah.
He eats a dog. He needs to feed.
Well, he's certainly intelligent, and he can pick and choose who he wants to eat.
He doesn't
based
look
on,
intelligent.
Observing people. Yeah, I kind of wish they made him a little bit more giving off the air of intelligence, because how does he pick and choose?
Yeah. What I do know,
I don't
Jared,
know.
What I do sure. know is this goblin takes massive, and I mean massive shits. Like,
massive shits. And if you want to see a movie with shits and piss, this is the film for you.
Oh my God, I do. That scene was fucking crazy. Okay, there's this amazing scene where, like, if you want to know, it's amazing in how fucked up it is. If you want to know the relationship between this woman and her husband, this is basically what is happening. So he's drunk all the fucking time. And there's one scene where she's like lying down in her bath, you know, just peacefully. And this douchebag walks into the bathroom and just starts pissing in the toilet right next to her, like interrupting her feng shui that she has. It's like, dude.
Well, first he walks in and stares at her. Looms over her for like a long time, and you only see his shadow, and the look on her face is like, Jesus fucking Christ, you're creeping me out. And then he takes the biggest horse piss I've ever heard filmed. Like, this sounded like a real piss. And it, you know what it made me think of, though? And I feel bad bringing it up again, is Honey Boy. Right?
I know. Yeah.
Because of the whole piss contest thing.
He definitely didn't have a
12-year-old. When you get older, your piss is going to sound weak.
Yeah, exactly. It made me think of that. He had a man pee.
He was doing a classic Honey Boy. I feel like that's what we're going to call it now, is whenever someone pisses heavily on film.
The Honey Boy.
Yeah, a Honey Boy surprise. You take a big fucking piss in front of someone. I want that to become a thing. They do an excellent job of showcasing a lot of this. I feel like Danny Jr. was too much. He really was annoying me. I mean, I know that was his character, but he just didn't feel like a real character, whereas everyone else kind of felt
more grounded. Well, yeah, he didn't feel like a real character, but then there was a scene where it's like towards the beginning of the movie where Danny Jr. tells off Sarah, and Sarah just is like taken aback by it, and then he leaves the table because they just ate Chinese food. Oh my God, Danny Jr. is a piece of work. Anyway, he leaves the table, and then the woman turns to her husband and she's like, "You know, it's not a big deal, but he needs to stop talking to me like that." It's like, no, that's a huge deal.
It's crazy. Yeah. And he's like, "I'll talk to him."
But then Danny Jr. has this obsession with metal music, you know, because he's a teenager, right?
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he's blasting his metal music in his room, and his dad just bangs on the wall, and he's like, "Headphones!" It's like, dude.
See, like, that scene when he's banging on it, he looks like he's looking right at the camera, and he's like, "Headphone!" Like, it's funny. Like, that was
because he was looking at, wasn't he looking at the what's this called? The animal control dude? Or was that a different scene?
Maybe, I don't know. But, like, so that was funny, and there was another scene where, so they go off, and they're, like, hunting for the goblin, but they think it's a cougar. Yeah. And they bring home a cougar, and he's like, "I've got great news, honey." And he's like, he turns and looks at her, and he's like holding a knife, and he's like got blood all over him. Like, that shit was really funny. There's like strange moments where the movie is funny like that. I think it was on purpose, but it's like you have that, but then you have, okay, remember the rape I told you about?
Yeah.
What makes that even worse is Sarah tried to have a kid, I think, with Danny, and she had to have what it looks like a C-section, and I believe she had a stillbirth because they say that the baby didn't make it.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, honey, the doctor says we had to wait like 6 weeks before we can have sex again." And he like is still wanting to have sex with her. Right. That's fucked up. And then we find out he rapes her. It's like, what the fuck?
That's
in this movie.
Yeah. And that makes the movie like that much more intense. But like, again, it's an amazing film for it being so low budget, and like I think they filmed on like a Sony DSLR, which is really impressive with like the lenses that came with them. I think I read on IMDb's trivia.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna assume that's true. But that, oh my God, it looked so great for what it was, and the fact that, you know, they are tackling this notion of, you know, abuse in the household and domestic violence. I feel like we can take it further than that, though. Like, this film was trying to make a comment about... Yes. I do. It boils down to... And I should have written it down. There was, like, a really interesting thought I had. But it boils down to that picture book that Elias chose. And then, like, you see, like, of the world in chaos. But then there's a goblin in the background. Mm-hmm. And, the lore essentially is... the goblin never goes away, and he turns the whole town mad until they kill everybody. Yeah. That's essentially what is happening. But if we take that to mean the goblin is a figure for just civil unrest, like, think about where our country is right now, and like we're doing shit that's just out of fucking control, right? Not to like get any, not to be like specific, but like there's so much unrest in the United States specifically. And what does this woman do? If we know the cause to be the goblin, what is she doing? She's keeping it and feeding the goblin because she wants it to be around more, because she saw it work for her, not necessarily for everybody else. Because don't forget, ate the dog at the beginning. He ate Danny Jr. Danny Jr. was just a douchebag. You can't just kill douchebags willy-nilly. You can't just kill your husband. Repercussions, bro.
You.
I don't know. Like, maybe I was looking too into it.
No, I like this angle. I don't think this is like an intentional thing with the movie.
No, it most certainly is not an intentional thing. Like the big thing that the director or writer want us to take away is for sure that allegory between the goblin and the domestic violence. But I think that violence goes further than just domestic issues, and it, like, we need to look at domestic issues on a grand scheme, not just in the household.
No, I totally get it. I think on the whole, this movie does do a good job with what you are saying in terms of its story. I just feel like it gets so intense, and it is just very jarring when you're in this type of horror film like that, and then you see, like, some goofy legs, like, flailing in the air as a goblin eats a man whole with, like, this goofy CGI thing. Like, that juxtaposition is very jarring to me. Because there's certain times where I'm laughing, and, like, I don't think I should be laughing, and then I look back, and I'm like, this is really, really messed up stuff that I'm watching on the screen.
Right.
I don't know. It was strange to me. Do you think this movie could be a cult classic?
No, I don't think it has that draw to it. I'm glad I watched it, but I don't know. Like, cult classics kind of develop over time, and I don't know if this film has the legs for it. That's probably just a personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I'd be thrilled to know that it becomes a cult classic, but, you know.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. So, like, I guess final thoughts on this, and I wanted to kind of talk about the music too, is I thought this film was an easy watch. I did enjoy myself. I feel like it is pretty close to being a cult classic. Like I said, I think, in my opinion, if it was funnier and less serious about the topics that it wanted, it really could have gotten there.
That's probably what I'm thinking.
That's just not the filmmaker's intent.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking, is, like, the amount of let's take this seriously that's in the film, it kind of inhibits the joy of, you know... Well, I mean, not to say that... It inhibits the joy that you would get out of a cult classic.
Yes. Yeah. So the music in this, I need to bring up, because I thought the music was good where it needed it, but there are a lot of times where there is nothing going on and the music will just be like... The music kind of sounds like this. It's like...
And it just gave it an ominous feel throughout the entire movie.
It never stops. Yeah, but, like, even during scenes where nothing is happening.
I liked that, though.
Did you?
Okay. I did. Like,
I don't know.
I liked the bizarre nature of the film. It's in that same vein of, I like the fact that the wife and the son didn't really talk that much. It felt awkward. It felt strange and bizarre, and it was this weird otherworldly place that I was in.
Here's what I'll say. Like, if this whole team, if they were given more money, I'd be so stoked to see the kind of cool shit they
absolutely
could do.
And this is first-time writer, first-time director. Like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Super good.
Their freshman effort... It rocks.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed a lot of this movie.
You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We take films.
We do take films, and we're always taking films. And we never stop taking films. Dan, you can go to... thenecropodicon.com if you want to check out our own podcast that you're on right now, and you can go there and check out the link to our bio and a bunch of other bios for podcasts that are on our network.
Our podcast is one of the many podcasts that I listen to on our network. I listen to quite a few podcasts, but definitely ours.
That's right. I like to listen to ours, but times two speed.
Sometimes I listen to ours and another show at the same time. And then I just listen to ours.
That's so cool. It like makes the other show better because you can hear yourself talking.
Yes.
And it's like you're there on the episode.
I pretend that I'm in the other podcast.
Because you're a narcissistic piece of shit. And this is the only way you can listen to other podcasts is if you can hear your own voice. No, totally cool. We're really cool. Really cool dudes. We're all really cool. Thank you for listening. please check out the Necropodicon.com. Please check out all the other podcasts on our network. They're all really great. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And Dan, you have the final word.
There's a wild beast out here, and I'm going to kill it.
Goblin is Neelbog spelled backward.
You can't piss on hospitality.
Empires, demons, apples, mice, gnomes, barbarians, saxophones, dice. Fate of Ison is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast from New Zealand. The players are comedians, and the Dungeon Master is very, very patient. Check out fateofison.com to discover fan art, cast profiles, and a whole new world of adventure.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.